Wait for her to make the noise.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to SkyPod, the Access Astrology attempt to reach you with our understanding and our excitement about astrology and make astrology accessible to you. Later in the talk, we're going to open the lines up for call-in, but let's get started with what we've got this week ahead. And what a week it is, as the energy will be shifting so totally this week. But before we, as we go through an eclipse in Cancer, and then heading into the waning moon, waxing moon in Leo. But first, let's introduce ourselves. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the fields of Montana, just along the Yellowstone River tonight. And we also have Anne.
Anne Ortley from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side in Manhattan. What a contrast. Heather's on the river watching bald eagles, and I'm sitting here with a cat with its butt in my face. It's a wonderful thing. So we are, and Mark, we believe, is maybe going to join us. He was attacked by a flu earlier today, so he said he might not make it, or he might make it. So if he joins us, great, and if he doesn't, it'll just be Heather and I, and the two of us can definitely talk for at least an hour without any problem.
Not a problem.
We're
and
together.
And we might hear the bald eagles, as you said. There's a pair of bald eagles just across the river who have babies, and once in a while you hear them calling out very loudly across the valley.
So, all right. Well, when the bald eagle sings, let us know, because I have to say I've never heard a bald eagle sound. So I've heard hoot owls, but I've never heard bald eagles.
Yeah,
okay, cool. But we do have eclipses, speaking of bald eagles. And
yeah.
Why do eclipses have anything to do with bald eagles? Well, both of them are in the sign of Cancer. And, you know, the country's symbolism is the bald eagle. And the eclipses in Cancer, and our country was born in Cancer. And families are Cancer. So we have a big eclipse, a total solar eclipse tomorrow night. And that's the big hot news. Now, it will be visible in India and China and across the part of the world that has daylight. It'll be there. It'll be on there July 22nd, that Wednesday. But for all of us, it's, you know, it brings up a lot of emotional stuff. So I don't know about you, Heather, but I tell you, it's been a busy couple of weeks for me with all the emotions. Plus, we've been losing a lot of our childhood icons, like Walter Cronkite just passed, and Michael Jackson last week, and Farrah Fawcett, you know, people that we grew up with or that were part of our lives. And I think it's kind of a fitting tribute that they leave on the Cancer eclipses, because they're saying,
absolutely,
okay, we're not going forward with you into the Pluto and Capricorn journey, and we're going to exit stage left and leave now, and you're going to go forward on your journey alone. So it brings up a lot of emotional stuff, and certainly Walter Cronkite, for me, was always, you know, we always watched him. That's who we watched, the CBS News. That's the way it is. And he made you feel that was the way it was, and, you know, he was in charge. And don't worry about it, kids. And now we're in charge, and it's kind of a little scary, at least for me.
There's no one's ever had that sense of just you trusted him quite the way he did. And we love Huntley Brinkley, and as a matter of fact, I'm right next to the town of Huntley, where the Huntley Brinkley Report comes from.
Oh, wow, okay.
But it's interesting. I'm right in here for Cronkite's funeral. It's interesting, strange synchronicity. But the Cronkite's death. But I also think that has to do with the lineup this week of Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron. Whenever I look at death charts, usually Jupiter is very strongly placed in the chart of the person that's leaving, especially if it's been a long illness, which most of the people involved, though it was a surprise to us, we can see there were ongoing conditions. When you see that in a death chart, it's hard to tell from that chart if someone wins the lottery or dies. Interesting, because from our perspective, but it's a little hard to tell the difference. Are they freed from their disease? Yes, but maybe not the way we think. The same aspect can also be when somebody suddenly recovers.
Mm-hmm.
But that aspect is a sense of freedom. Okay, good, I'm free, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And it often comes with fairly easy deaths. And in contrast, in order to really interpret a Jupiter transit, I want to look at the transits of all the family members. Because if it's a death and the person is loved, usually their family members are going through the Saturn and the Pluto transits.
Right, right. And they're going to feel the death more than the person. person is.
Right. They are have a Jupiter transit. They probably had some Pluto transits fairly recently that set off the chain of events that led to this. But this is this Jupiter Neptune Chiron, it is, you know, healing by freeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you mentioned that, this weekend I came out, I'm also an interfaith minister, and I came out here to do a memorial service for my mother-in-law who died several months ago. But, you know, we couldn't gather together in Montana to say goodbye. And she was, you know, had no truck with organized religions in general, but she loved the gospel music of her childhood. So we hired, and she wanted those played at her, you know, very little religious service, but lots of songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we had them play some of the old gospel tunes. And one of the ones that they played, the three bluegrass musicians we had come play for it, was I'll Fly Away, which is a lovely song, but it struck me as a Jupiter transit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that it felt this eclipse is bringing about the end of chapters and the beginning of new chapters,
mm-hmm.
the closing. But we may see closings in our lives, in our family dynamics, in our economy this week, and since the last eclipse through this one, and echoing into the next full moon, where we're endings of one chapter, and it is like a heartbeat break before we see the next ones begin. But today and tomorrow, closure in the family, healings, finishing, putting, said to a piece. Now, for the people who've already done their family homework and don't have any ongoing issues, it may just be that it comes up in the dreams, or that they are now noticing the difference,
mm-hmm.
that they're coming back to some of the same places in their life, only it doesn't hurt anymore.
Right, right.
That
or they're looking at it with a different eyes.
Again.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's like looking at it with a different set of eyes and saying, oh, yeah, I handled that, or I saw that, or I get it. Yeah. See, I always think of Jupiter as they're going on a long trip, you know, so when they die, wherever we go, they're traveling someplace,
long trip.
You know, like a long trip someplace, leaving the body and expanding. You know, the soul is no longer trapped in the body, and it's able to take off and go somewhere. And yes, that, of course, assumes you believe in a soul, which I think once you start studying astrology, you really kind of go, you know, there's a big plan out there. I don't know quite what it is 100%, but I can see it in all these charts. So it's fascinating to watch that Jupiter. I think that little gang of I've been calling them the gang of three in my column, that Jupiter, Neptune, Chiron guys, and Uranus is kind of in there too because he's at the same degree kind of sending a little change energy. It's very interesting because it's really letting people see things that maybe they never saw before. I've had more clients go on about, you know, I realized that I'm married to my mother. And it's like, yeah, okay, cool. What are you going to do about it? Well, you know, she's my mother. It's like, of course, yep, okay, good. What are you going to do about it? And they don't necessarily know what to do with the information yet, but they're seeing it. And I think, you know, when we're going to actually start working with that information will be maybe next September when Uranus and Saturn meet for part three. Because this is like a wake-up thing, but it's not like
right.
we necessarily know what to do with what we're waking up with. So, like,
mm-hmm.
write the dreams down, but you may not know what they mean. But it will become clearer. You know? So it's kind of like, you know, I don't really know, but it'll be clearer soon. That's kind of what I'm saying to people, because truth be told, Uranus and Saturn, who the heck knows where it's going? We just know we're evolving. We're changing. We're trying a whole new life. Or we're starting a whole new chapter. So I think it's great fun if it's not a little bit too stressful. And, you know, eclipses tend to make astrologers' phones ring because people call going, you know, what the heck is going on, you know? And I've had a couple people write and say, you know, all my friends who don't believe in astrology are asking me if there's something going on. and it was actually in Barron's. I got an email from one client going, you know, they wrote about the eclipses in Barron's, you know, financial reports. So it's like, okay, yeah, they're paying attention out there. You know, somebody's noticing there's stuff awry. So what do you think we should tell people about how to handle this energy, Heather? Come on, it's rocking and rolling and changing and jumping around.
Oh,
what do we do to make
really
it?
Just letting it flow. That Jupiter Neptune is one of the processes. This is in Cancer, the sign of the deepest oceans. And I feel that, the emotions coming through as oceanic waves. And luckily, while we're doing that oceanic processing, Venus and Mars are both in Gemini, which has a very short attention span. So we don't have to do it all at once. And people are shifting gears back and forth. They're like diving into their feelings, laughing about something, networking over here, going back and forth. And that Venus and Mars in Gemini, that brings a certain lightheartedness and sense of humor that can help us process, and it's dampened. It'll feel better next week, but it's dampened with this heavy Cancerian energy. But also it gives us a flotation device so that we go down into those feelings and we can even feel safer going into them because we don't stay down there as long right now.
We kind of pop back up to
helping,
the surface.
Yeah. So we're adjusting. I've come back to this town of Billings, which I visit irregularly, and it's sort of like measuring a child on a door jamb. You know, you come every 6 months, you see changes that you don't see when you're there every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many businesses have gone under. This town was really rocking and rolling last year, and I see so many of the new businesses have gone under.
Oh, really? Wow.
Shape. I'm hearing someone talking tonight, and I am sure they're going to quit their business within the next month because they are so done with that level of work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ready for some new level. But, you know, if the economy hadn't been pushing them, they wouldn't have stayed in this job so far.
Right.
But I hear that sometimes, you know, when common sense and the economy says, no, hold on to your job, but you really need to move on. You really need to create something. These businesses that are closed down, most of them were the fairly high-end luxury businesses that are not working, but are not really what America bases its strength and security upon. And it feels to me that all of these closures I'm hearing all across the country, you know, the property values are beginning to find a more reasonable level. People are buying homes that couldn't have bought homes before, that people are looking for jobs where they feel like they matter, that they get paid for it. It's not, you know, high-end money as much as a good, solid job that will work for them. And I'm hearing a reset. And in that, I think, is, you know, part of the gift of this transit. I'm wondering what this eclipse will do for the issues of health care. It's a very Cancerian issue, the idea of we need to nurture our country. We need to nurture one another. And I have a feeling there's great pressure to get started on it right away, and the Gemini planets can allow people to talk about highly emotionally charged issues better than usual with this, because we can just touch on it and go away, do a Gemini on it, which means sort of touch it, back off, touch on it, come back, touch it, change the subject, and come back to it and work it through, but not having to hold on to it like a hot iron ball. So I think the conversation is going to be good around the issues of healthcare and healthcare reform and how do we really take care of our country. There's a lot of important debate going on right now in all directions that may everybody learn from each other. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
But that process, you know, of letting yourself feel, don't expect yourself to do it all at once. Don't try to find a story to go with the feeling. You know, we're processing a lot of feelings that are cultural right now. You may be happy and still feel moody because you're processing the moods of the other people around you.
Mm-hmm.
But and just, you know, feel it. Notice, like, I am feeling this feeling. I am remembering these sadnesses. But I don't have to hold on to the story. I can let it go.
Right.
That goes along with the Venus and Mars in Gemini, by the way, which is highly flirtatious, but not necessarily highly sexual. I'm noticing that one of the ways people are handling emotions is flirting their butts off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very Venus and Mars and Gemini and Mercury and Leo right now. They want to tell their stories. They want to be heard. No one's particularly good at listening. The more sensitive they're feeling, the less likely they are to talk about the real feelings and more likely they are to tell some funny old story.
Right.
But sort of notice the energy that wafts between people and notice the nice stories. And if they don't match, it's okay. We'll work it through. So that's part of what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
What would be your advice to handle these eclipses?
I'm like, you know, like, give yourself time. I have found that it seems like a very frantic eclipse cycle, that the people I know, especially the ones that are having health care issues with family members, are really down to their last ounce of breath or their last section of you know, they're just exhausted. They go to the hospital all the time. They're working on whatever. And it's about under-scheduling, you know. And we forget, you know, we kind of get in these modes of caretaking or taking, you know, dealing with major stuff changing in our lives. And we forget sometimes that, you know, we're actually in charge of our calendar and that we maybe need to underdo. And in the underdoing, we can find some space and a little bit of spaciousness in our life to breathe in. I also feel like it's kind of, it's felt very harsh to me. You know, I've just felt very much the people are just not able to verbalize what it is, but that the emotional content is exceptionally high. And so with the lack of words, because it's just not forming, the words aren't forming. And in that capacity, there's this sense of, I don't have words for this. And then there's an impatience. And I think you're right. That's why it deflects into the flirtatious or kind of nonsensical stuff.
The stories
are the underlying piece. And when you listen to the story, you go, oh, that's the story. You know, it's underlying. Okay. It's the underlying part of it. And it's hard because it's a – I'm normally a night owl, and I'm good for 1, 2 in the morning. I've been going to bed at 10:30. Mm-hmm. I finished my reading.
Got a process.
And I'm like, I got to go to bed now. You know, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. And I don't normally do that, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to my own advice and know that I'm pulling in a lot of energy and picking up people and listening to, you know, being supportive of people that, I mean, can't do anything if someone's croaking, but I can listen or, you know, counsel. You know, you're breaking up with your partner. Okay, let's talk about it. But it's not, I don't have extra right now. And I have to go back to my little bed and go to sleep. My little Pisces moon loves to sleep. And that, for me, is replenishing. And I've been doing a lot of beach time, too. But it's, I think what we're finding is it also is a sense of speediness. And because there's 3 eclipses in a row, right, normally we only have 2, but because this eclipse is right on the world axis, the one tomorrow, there's 3. Because we have a beginning, and then the one tomorrow, and then the one that is in 2 weeks. So it feels like it's extra amping. You know, there's extra amping energy running around. And because it is in the most personal part of the chart, Cancer, the most primal, the part that has the least amount of words because it's pre-verbal, and it's the feeling emotion state that doesn't have words that happens before you have, you know, where you want food or comfort or something, but you don't have a word to express it, and you hope your mother can hear you crying and take care of you or your father. And so it's kind of an energy where people are really just feeling like, oh, man, you know, I don't have a mother. And we need a mother. And because we don't have one, we have to mother ourselves and nurture ourselves. So I found it seems much more frayed energy, you know, like, you know, just down to the nerve, down to the raw nerve.
Well, I think you've got the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction means, you know, Jupiter means lots of, usually.
Uh-huh.
So freedom, traveling, lots of, and Neptune is dreams and water.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing lots of sleep and lots of beach time. Perfect.
Yeah, it's in my first house.
Perfect.
It's what I need to do, right.
And also Venus and Mars. Mars often talks about how we're energized during the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Mars wants to talk. It just doesn't want to talk deep, Mars and Gemini.
Right.
But it wants to talk, as I'm watching here, this family processing the death of a relative, I notice how often it's the song they sing, the movie they show, the story they tell that lets me know how they're feeling. But they're not talking about how they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But they're sharing, you know, if they share an event over and over again, I look for what that event symbolizes, and it's very articulate.
Right.
That the words aren't there for the feelings consciously.
Yeah.
But also Venus and Mars and Gemini says, we exhaust. Mars and Gemini doesn't have a lot of energy,
mm-hmm.
but it gets it back quickly. So it's often tired, but it catnaps.
Right.
Or it needs a few minutes downtime, or it can have a great conversation and needs solitude, then goes back to converse. It flickers.
Yeah, it's an on and off energy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So regular short rests are really needed right now. And when we feel ourselves tired, instead of forcing ourselves to go through, even 5 minutes with our heads down, and we can come back. We just need to bring our energy in for a minute.
Right.
Now, especially when there's so much unconscious material cooking, and we're in that deep emotional place. But also, Venus is squaring Saturn, and Saturn is squaring Venus in return. So we have that our responsibilities and our work and our feeling of age and creakiness might be pushing on us, and we are maybe feeling less Venusian, less spontaneous, less charismatic, less romantic than we normally do, even though there's a lot of flirtatious energy doing something about it, maybe a little hard while Venus is square Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Venus in square Saturn says we need to really be there for one another, nothing fancy, but just as you were describing, how can you help someone who's got a relative who's dying, as you were talking about, or somebody, other crisis that they go through, we can be there for them. We can Saturn them. We can say, I'm not leaving, don't know what to do, but I'm here.
And actually, in all honesty, a lot of times there isn't anything you can do.
Right.
You know, they're going through their process.
That's very
important. Yeah. And that's, I think, the thing to know.
Yeah,
if they're going through their process, there's nothing you can do about it. You're just kind of in the process saying, okay, let me work with you. Let me see what the story is. So, yeah, no, I think it's really – and also just sometimes a laugh, you know. Like you call somebody up and you go, let me tell you what happened in my – day to day, and the person goes okie doke, and you're there. And that's what you need, is the sense of humor, the ability to kind of, okay, let me laugh this off, because, you know, I want to cry, but I can't. You know, so I'll laugh instead.
I saw this brilliantly done earlier today when two rather prickly brothers who do not usually get along, a Scorpio and an Aries, and have been on and off feuding for years, someone came up to them and said, tell me, what's your best memories together? And within 5 minutes, they were laughing at silly things they had done in their childhood and bonding better than they had for decades.
Wow. Okay.
And it was those funny stories. And someone asked the right question, what are your best memories together?
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest that. It's also the Mercury in Leo right now likes to tell stories and likes, you know, tell stories on each other and tell stories about yourself. But as long as that right to tell those personal stories,
mm-hmm.
Again, you can't say what's going on in the present, but you can talk about what happened 15 years ago.
Right.
So if you see people, if you're having trouble in a relationship, they say, what were our best memories when we first met? That can take you back to that sweetness and then walk you forward into handling the present better together.
Right. Yeah.
Using that Gemini silliness to look for depths.
To break the ice and to get everything moving and dancing. And we have a caller, Heather. You want me to pick it up?
Please do.
All right. Hello, caller. I'm going to try and get you. We'll see if we get you. Hello, caller?
Wait, that's me?
Yep, that's you. Hi.
Oh, hi. I was wondering, do you all you feel the energy around people? Is that what you...
What we do is we look at their charts. So if you tell us when you were born, we can talk a little bit about what's going on for you astrologically.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And
I was born November the 1st is my birthday, 1961.
Wait. Do you know what time?
November the 1st?
Yeah, I was born, I think it was around 557. I think it was 57 or...
Is it 1961?
Wait a minute. Wait 1 second. Let me see. It may have been 5:37.
Okay. Morning or night?
Oh, in the morning, a.m.
Where?
Yeah. In Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, I just was in Memphis.
Wonderful.
Beautiful state.
Oh, I was in Memphis. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's your first name?
Loretta.
Loretta, okay.
Yes.
All right. So we've got you as November 1st, 1961, 5:37 in the morning in Memphis.
Yes.
All right, cool. And did you have a particular question, or you just want us to tell you what we see?
Okay, go ahead and tell me what you see.
Okay.
That's a good Scorpio talking.
They always like us to go first. Okay.
Yeah.
So for you, the focus of the life or the focus of the purpose is there's an enormous – you actually are the one that sees energy. It's interesting you're asking us if we do, but you do.
Right.
You kind of walk into a room with that Sun-Neptune conjunction, and you can feel whether there's been a fight or whether there's an argument. You can feel if there's a tension. You know who's mad at who. You're like a little detective. Always
right.
Have been. And since you were like eight.
You may tend to pick up more on who's on the negative than the positive. Sometimes you have to go, well, I know who's had a fight, but who's getting along?
Right.
I know where the problem is,
But where is the advantage? Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's a little tricky. People tend to underestimate you. They don't notice how much you're picking up. You don't miss a thing. But you can be like a one-way mirror where people see and you see into other people, but they don't notice that you need a hug, that you need something unless you spell it out. You can, like, go. If you walk in the room and say, hey, I can do this, they believe you. Yes, you can do that. But if you walk in feeling a little insecure and you'd like a little positive feedback, they won't even notice. They won't notice that you need any positive reinforcement because you're picking it up. They believe what you tell them about yourself. So that's an interesting part of the process.
Mm-hmm. You've got an enormous sense of honesty. This is a very honest chart with that Leo moon high. And there's also a real sense of integrity on this. And you spot liars really quick. You were a diplomat when you were a kid. You know, you were the one that was the peacekeeper in the family that really worked on trying balancing things. And also there's
when you want to make a scene, you can do it like nobody's business.
Right. A real diplomat. There's a very diplomatic energy. And whatever the sibling story was very important for you. You know, there was maybe a loss of a sibling or a sibling that passed. But the sibling story is really key. And that's kind of part of a really big part of your journey is understanding that. And also the part is going from feeling a little when you were little, like you felt a little weird. You didn't really fit in with the neighbors or you were the one that was intense. But as you've gotten older, there's been a lightening up of you and kind of moving into a lighter place, moving into a more joyful place, kind of an expansion. And when you were about 21, 22, there was really a big shift in your life in terms of your worldview and kind of your philosophy and understanding of things. And that has served you well as you've moved forward. And now that you're kind of where you are now, there's a lot of changes now around partnership and relationships, or maybe with your firstborn child if you have a child, but that there's an expansion going on in that area and a desire to kind of change up the relationships that are, you know, maybe not as productive as you would like them to be, or that maybe, you know, where you kind of take care of people more than they take care of you.
Is dancing on your chart. Yeah, I have you as we don't know exactly what time you're born, but there's a good chance that your ascendant is within a few degrees of 28 degrees of Libra. Could be, you know, a couple of degrees either way, depending upon the time.
Right, but
you have Jupiter,
yeah.
29 Capricorn, squaring that ascendant. And the eclipse tomorrow night is exact opposite your Jupiter and potentially squaring your ascendant. So you may really, I mean, you've been in such a learning curve. If you want to learn the last year or two, you really have been. You've been, you know, just learning fast, learning quick, and trying to figure out how to make this work and how to make it work financially and how to run with this, how to use your intuition in a way to your advantage. And this eclipse is coming up can really open some doors for you that may look like they're closing doors at first. In other words, you're kind of forced to let go of some opportunities that are not working for you, and it helps give you the guts to take some risks that can work for you and take the next step out there. It looks like there's you have such an approach avoidance conflict around being visible. Part of you likes to be behind the scenes, hidden, no one knows you. Part of you likes to be out there in the your Leo moon, wants to be out there, visible, public figure. And the two sides can argue. It really works for you when your public self is very public and your private self is very private. Mm-hmm. And that you have both sides, and you don't have to choose between the two of them. But they both get to magnify. Now, are you in the middle of some tough decision-making process?
I am, yes. Several. And my mind is always running.
It looks like there's just a lot to do in a short period of time.
Right.
Is there any particular decision we can help you with or subject about that you want to
mention? Well, you know, there are so many things that's running in my mind. I want to do so many things, and it seems like I can't make that step, or when I make that step, I have something else that deters me, you know, and it's just too many things that's going on in my mind, and that's why I know I need to sit back and meditate. I know what I need to do, but do I make the time to do that? And that's But, you know, it looks like that in this in the process that you've got in general with that, with the grand, with the square between your moon and Uranus conjunct, you always got that feeling of changes coming about around you at right angles to your Scorpio. You can also feel like you've got two choices, and do I do this or do I do that? But it's sort of like asking you, which leg do you want to stand on? That you really usually need not one job, but two. Not,
right.
You know, one way of living, but two. Not one project, but two. One for your quiet, introspective side, and one for you out there getting things done in the world side. And you can't choose between the two of them. They reinforce each other, and they support each other.
Yeah.
But
you,
it
you
looks
can't,
like...
You can't have one, not the other. You have to have both of them. Yeah.
Right, and they support each other. And they give each other energy. And that right now, in this next few weeks, and the last few weeks, the next few weeks, some decisions are being taken out of your hands. You're going, should I do A, B, or C? And then C disappears. A or B. And it'll simplify your decision. So it's important for you to think of what can you do and you can imagine doing that all parts of you can agree on. Because when all parts of you agree, there's not much that can stop you, girl.
I know all of those things. What can I do? I need to sit myself down and just meditate, don't I? And that's part of the thing.
And let those two sides talk to each other. Let those two sides respect each other. Because those two sides, your introverted and extroverted side, tend to diss each other instead of
respecting. Argue with each other rather than respect each other. You have to think of them as... You know, both of them need, you know, you have to say, okay, did the public side get the public energy it needs today? Needs to be out, needs to talk, needs to create, needs to do stuff, needs to be lively. And did the private side get to have a little time in the bathtub by itself or secretly, you know, secretly off meditating or thinking about things? Because they both need some time. So if you get up in the morning and you do 20 minutes of lively and 20 minutes of meditation, You've already made each of them happy.
Okay.
You have to think on those kind of warring siblings because they do war.
I think she's got the absolute key there. In order for you to meditate, you have to promise yourself that you go, you know, down the marketplace to the farmer's market afterwards. Mm-hmm. But you have to say, you know, first I'll be inside and then I'll make the phone calls.
Right.
Then you can rest more. But you can feel like, well, if I sit still, then I won't be able to connect with people. And then the Leo moon won't let the Scorpio meditate.
Is it the Libra and the Scorpio that's at odds with each other?
The Libra and the Leo moon.
You have a Leo moon.
The outgoing side.
Which is August, which is the playful time of August, like wanting to each sit on the beach and do umbrella drinks and hang out. And then you've got the Scorpio stuff, which is the private secret part. And that's the part like near November when the leaves fall off the trees and you can see behind the houses you see on the expressway the houses. And it knows the secrets. So you have the secret part, the dark part, the swamp. Scorpio's a swamp.
Yeah.
That's your emotion sometimes on a bad day. And then you have the Leo part, which is banana drinks and umbrella drinks and laying on a beach and eating bonbons. So you have these two sides of you that both need to have an exercise. And oftentimes when people have them argue in the chart like you do, they pick one side over the other, or mom liked one side better than the other. Like I would guess when you were little, your parents liked the happy you better than the serious you and the intense you. But the intense you needs its time. And you need to have that. You need to give that. Even if you just turn on some really deep bluesy jazz, you are from Memphis, good Billie Holiday, Lady Sings the Blues, that kind of thing where you're Good Morning Heartache, and then turn on Paula Abdul and, you know, Tina Turner and dance. They're both you, and you need both parts.
Okay.
And when you say to one you can't come in, then it acts up.
Right. And they're both beautiful. When they work well together, you have a very deep side to you and a side of you that can reach out and talk to just about anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah. You're exactly.
Together.
Y'all are exactly right. Yeah. I'm just like what you said. So.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting a new 12-year cycle. So if you think back to 97,
mm-hmm.
and 85, and 73,
mm-hmm.
each
mm-hmm.
of those years you started a new 12-year cycle around your life. And you're starting one this summer.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. So it's also a really good time to say, okay, I'm starting a new 12-year cycle about putting down roots and what's important to
okay.
me around my hopes and dreams. So
right.
let me kind of focus on what those are. And let me
okay.
build into my daily life a little bit of both of those things. And I think you'll find you really, once you do both, your chart really feels really happy.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm definitely will contemplate on, concentrate on that. Let me ask you something else. Is it
sure.
okay?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
You're
all
our
right,
caller
now.
Tonight. You know, we have you.
Oh.
Yay. Yeah. So
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. here's now, I have a friend. His name is Benny, and he's born November the 5th, 1960.
Okay, so he's born a couple days after you, but a year.
Yes,
okay.
A year older than I am, but
mm-hmm.
a couple of days, yeah.
Okay.
A year and 4 days. Do you think that we are compatible? Do you think what?
Now, you said that's November 5th, 1960, is that correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see.
Yeah, you're compatible with him. He's got a story
yeah.
with his mother, though. You got to find out what the mother's story is with him. That's the key, right? How he feels about her. Did he have two mothers when he was growing up, or was it just, or did his mom pass? Was he raised with two women?
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has a mother still living,
mm-hmm.
and he has someone who raised him in another state.
Mm-hmm.
He lived
yep.
with them for a while, so and then he came back home. So yeah, you're absolutely right on that on
all
that
right, well,
part.
His ability to commit is tied to how he feels about those women. Okay.
Right, and I you know what? Do you think? Because you know, I always question that. I
mm-hmm.
question that because I feel like I have some sort of instinct about how you know how he treats women. So I'm thinking it has to be. Do you like women or what? You know, because he's not really respecting the woman, but
any
yet.
One of them.
He's
got one side of him that is really afraid of commitment because and is afraid to be fenced in a bad situation. And the other side that is really terrified of being rejected or abandoned. So he really doesn't like to trust people. I mean, he likes people, he'll be friendly with them, but he trust is something he builds up over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
he needs to, like, you two are really compatible, except for the fact that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
astrologically, a lot that goes back and forth between your two charts is really great. You can have great fun together.
Right.
But
I think so, too.
You need to be the center of someone's life.
Yeah. And the thing with him is until his, and I don't mean this in a mean way, we're not trying to
right.
kill his mother off, but
right.
until his mother dies or until... You know, he's not really able
Here's
to commit.
Here's that energy field, one way or the other.
Yeah, he needs to, you know, he has trouble committing because of the mother's story. And so you want to know, I always, with a chart like this, I'm always like, so what's the story with his mother? How does he feel about her? And then secondly,
mm-hmm.
he looks at women as either being wild and crazy and, you know, hots and fun, or, you know, they're strange and they come and they go and they aren't loyal and he doesn't really trust them. So what
right.
you want to do is watch and see what the story is. When his mother passes, he's actually able to commit. Until
right.
then, if you want to just have fun with him, he's a great guy to have fun with. But
yeah.
he's
and
not.
And he's also someone that, you know, both of you have a great bullshit meter.
Yes.
So
a what?
You see through lies or, you know, stories.
Right.
You can be a storyteller. But both
oh,
of
yeah.
you see through stories really well.
Mm-hmm.
So what
yeah.
he needs to see from you is that you do not play games, that you say
right.
what you mean, that you you mean what you say, that if you can't
right.
be there, you won't, you'll say you can't be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
right.
he'll forgive you for less, but he won't trust you. And
right.
he won't commit to someone he does not really, really trust. And it will just
well,
take time.
I think he trusts me. I don't know. I
Wait.
Think he trusts me.
Just that.
But
if he trusts
huh?
you, then you, get, you can
yeah.
get closer and closer over time. But
yeah,
there's just some days. He's going to need to go out and talk to the half the known world and can't really focus. So if you can deal with that, he doesn't have to go touch the known world. He has to go talk to them.
Right.
And if you can deal with that side of him, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but you're
yeah.
a Leo moon. You know, you gotta say to him, you can talk to other people, but you're going home with me tonight. And
right.
he is a bit of a flirt, and that makes your Leo moon can make your Leo moon a little crazy.
Yeah,
you know, where he's off flirting with other people. And so I would
yeah.
say, you know, I like him, but I would also say
mm-hmm.
you need somebody who's a little more, you know, he's not on her moon, you know, he's got no plan, unless his ascendant is Leo rising. But
yeah.
he doesn't have
but,
anything on your moon supporting your emotional
Venus
needs.
Time.
Huh?
That Venus comes in there. You know, there
yeah,
is a time.
Yeah, I know, but she's a Leo moon, you know. Come on, that Mars
yeah,
and Scorpio is going to brood.
Not,
hmm?
Right. If you really love your life, you'll have more patience with him.
That's true.
If you're not so happy about what's going on the rest of your life, then you'll have less patience with him.
Yeah,
right.
True.
I have patience with him, but at the same time, I don't have time to, you know, deal with a lot of foolishness.
Right.
I'm a very serious type of person. I do play, you know, when I'm kind of like, there's a time
you know,
for
if you
all
don't
things.
Want foolishness, he may not
he
be
now?
He has a foolish side.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have to be an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, he plays a fool, but he actually underneath it, he's a good soul. So you just
oh, he is.
Keep an eye on his act.
Well, see, she sees his soul, though. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's Scorpio stuff. She sees his soul. The part is he's unreliable. I mean, I don't mean this to be
right.
mean about
definitely.
Him.
Right, definitely.
But he's
you
unreliable because
right
that moon in Gemini doesn't always,
uh-huh.
you know, it rides that Mars
right.
in Cancer. He doesn't always show up.
Right.
So when he doesn't
yes.
show
he,
up,
he's
you might
unreliable.
Put out the message one more time, the phone number, okay?
I think I've got to send out the messages.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I just got a call tonight, and I didn't want to even respond, and I don't think I'm going to respond because I have said enough,
mm-hmm.
you know,
okay.
and I just, you know, I feel in my heart that I do love him, but I'm tired of, you know, I can't babysit like this. I'm too old for that,
mm-hmm.
and not only that, I've been living a very celibate lifestyle. I've been, you know, within my own self, I don't mess around on deal like that. I've been
mm-hmm.
celibate for 16 years, so I think, you know, and I'm ready to settle down with someone, but at the same time, I'm not going to accept just anything. I didn't stay this in this lifestyle for nothing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
hey,
I didn't do this.
Watch the tendency right now under this eclipse. It's very easy to cut things out of our life, but be careful that you cut out the behavior, not the person. And give him a chance. Give him a few more weeks to step forward. And if he doesn't step forward by the next eclipse, goodbye.
Yeah.
But he put to him very clearly, this is what I love about you. This behavior I cannot tolerate.
Right.
Are you willing? I want this in my life,
mm-hmm.
but I can't deal with that.
Right.
And give him as much room that you can to accept what he is. But if he can't respond to that, because just watch a tendency right now to move so defensively that we shoot ourselves in the foot. That's a little problem with this Cancer combination.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is though, this is a really good eclipse to sit down and make a list and say to the universe, because it is a new moon, too. Tomorrow
okay.
night, around 10:30, 11 at night.
So I need to say this before tomorrow night?
No, no, I would say it to
no.
the universe. I would just sit down, light a candle, and say to
uh-huh.
your God, you know, say to your, I don't know what your belief system is, your spirit guide, your guardian angels, your higher
right,
self.
Right, my guardian angel, my higher power, I believe in it all.
Right, say I like
yeah.
this guy, but, you know, I don't know
mm-hmm.
if he's good for me. If he's not good for me, let me know. And in the meantime,
yeah.
what I'm looking for is this, this,
mm-hmm.
and this. And if you think of something I forgot that's good for me, please send it in the list.
Okay.
Kind of add a little caveat so they have a little flexibility to work with. And
okay.
Ask for it on the eclipse, because this is a very powerful eclipse in the sign of the family, and saying, you know, what is the tribe you want to create? And you are starting this new 12-year cycle around your tribe, and what
okay.
you want is a mate. And I like this guy, but I'm not as forgiving as Heather on this. I dated a guy with Mars in Cancer, so
mm-hmm.
they do have trouble showing up. You know, they can be a little flaky. And
mm-hmm.
you need a real more reliable guy. You got a Leo moon. You want him to love you and honor you. And when he's
right.
when you feel it as disrespect, he's just flaky. But you feel the flakiness is disrespect, and that's
well,
the problem.
Okay. Well, I think if you know a person, then you're gonna try to appease them as much as you can, and not just keep doing what you're doing, because you know you got to realize at some point that you're hurting that person.
Right.
You know. You have to.
Eclipses also are hitting him. He has a Mars Saturn opposition natal
right,
in his
right.
chart. His
yeah.
training was either I can do be fully alive and do what I want. Or I can
mm-hmm.
be responsible, but I can't do both at the same time.
Right.
And
yeah.
the eclipse is setting that off right now, which it says that he has got to learn to do both at the same time.
Right. Most definitely.
And
yeah, when you're dealing with a certain
person. He has the opportunity right now of changing that behavior. That's why I'm saying give him one more chance and let him know, love you, hate your behavior, let's change it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if he can't, then you can let him go.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But
I'll certainly do that probably tomorrow.
This last eclipse to walk into it.
Yeah.
I'll probably do that tomorrow, but you saying that the universe, I mean, there's going to be eclipse tomorrow around what time?
Around 10:30 Eastern time, so I don't know where you're from, if you're still in Memphis, but it's 10:35 Eastern time, New York, at night, tomorrow night.
At night.
Yeah,
okay.
So sometime tomorrow night. Or, you can even do it on Wednesday morning. But I would try and do it tomorrow night around 10:30 Eastern time, so that would be 9:30 if you're still in Central Time Zone. Where are you calling
mm-hmm.
from?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee. So it would be 9:30 your time. I just missed the plane because I was in Memphis, Tennessee. And I got the time zone thing screwed up. Yeah, so I'm
okay.
like, I know you're an hour behind us. So for you, it's at 9:30.
Yeah, okay.
Can
okay.
you give out our phone number one more time, just in case we have another 10 minutes?
Sure.
If anybody else,
yes, 347-215-8881. So feel free to give us a call. So is that good for you, Loretta?
Thank you so much for talking to
okay.
us.
Okay. Keep us posted.
Did y'all find somebody else on the line?
Nope, not yet. But we've got more stuff. We've got stuff to say. Do you got another question before we let you go?
No, I actually wanted to see my daughter. She's pressuring me about something,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted y'all to ask her. I mean, I wanted y'all to tell her something.
Is she your firstborn?
No, she's my second born. She's 15.
So she's a Taurus, all right? So she's very
stubborn. No, she's a Eritrea. Would you like to ask them a question, baby? Come on and ask, because they're on the line and they don't have much time. Now, I'm going to let you talk to my daughter. Her name is Eritrea.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Ask them about your school.
It's a beautiful name.
It is a beautiful name. I like that.
Hello.
Hi, Eritrea. What's your birthday?
Hi. When were you born?
I'm a Pisces, February 21st.
February 21st, what year?
1994.
94, and what time? Do you know?
Hold on. What time?
I think it was about 5 o'clock. No. Oh, you was born at 11 something.
11 in the morning?
That was Tila. You was born
in the morning
at
p.m.
Hmm?
In the morning.
You was born at 9 something, I believe.
In
p.m.
Nine p.m.
In Memphis?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, cool. And what's your question, Atria?
I just want to know, I'm thinking about transferring schools, and
okay.
I don't know, should I transfer or should not? Shouldn't I?
You're going to be in ninth grade coming up?
No, 10th grade.
10th grade coming up. And is this a religious school you're thinking of going to?
No, I'm transferring from school to a public school.
Okay, so it's going from religious to public? Okay.
Yeah.
And you want to do this really badly?
Yeah.
And you have a lot of friends in that other school?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. Your chart's having that you really want to change schools. You've been talking to your mother about it since last year, since November and February?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I think you want to really do this badly. I vote yes. Mm-hmm. Heather, what do you vote?
Yes, I vote yes, but I want you to, you know, that you're someone who can really blossom later on in your life, and you really need, I think that you've got the discipline to go to a public school and still get a good education, because the program that you'd be transferring to, it is what you make of it. It, in other words, if you slack off like some of your friends do, you won't get a good education, and you need a good one because you want more out of life than that. You've got that Sun-Saturn conjunction, you've got a seriousness, and you've got responsibilities, and you have things that you want to do in your lifetime, and you'll be happier if you get a good education and give yourself the chance to do good works in the world because you're a good soul.
Yeah.
And if you, so if transferring means that you slack off and you don't do your homework, then it's not a good idea. But if you transfer and you commit to yourself that you will get a good education, whether or not they provide it, but that you will go get the information that you need, you will do your homework, and you will get what you need to make a difference in your world, I'm all for you transferring because I think that you need to be around your friends.
And I think is there really good art programs in the public school? Or is there some kind of creative program you can be involved with where you get to do your art? Do you play musical instruments or do you sing or anything?
No, I used to play the bass clarinet, but I don't play it anymore.
Okay, well, what do you do for your art? Do you do any drawing or singing or dancing?
Well, I used to dance, but I don't do that anymore. But I'm interested in art, like drawing.
Okay, well, I would say to you is when you go to the public school, one of the things that a lot of times they have is they have extracurricular groups that are about the art and the dancing and the theater, and if maybe you did some of that, you would really love it. You know,
okay.
So maybe part of why you're so drawn to change schools is to get a little bit more art or a little more music in your life, because you have a chart that really wants to be very creative. And I think for you, that's a really important thing.
Learn the discipline at it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You would tell if that you know, you may feel a little self-conscious when you start to something, like you know, it's not super easy for you, but if you, like, again, if you do your homework, if you practice a musical instrument, then inspiration comes. You practice the dance, then the inspiration comes. But first you need to do the practice part, and then the creativity flows. But it'd be really good for you to have something like that to do.
Yeah, some kind of art or something fun that you're doing with your friends that's kind of creative, maybe playing in a play or singing in the chorus or doing some kind of instrument. Because I think a lot of times the religious schools don't necessarily have that. And that, I think, is part of what the call is maybe to move to the public school, is that your friends are doing things like that or that there's more of an opportunity to do that kind of stuff. So that's really, when you get to the public school, or even if you're in – if you end up staying in the Catholic or the religious school, you know, try and organize that, because then it would give you a lot more alternative and a lot more opportunity to play with people and to have fun with people. And that's really a big, big part of what your chart wants this next year, is to play and have fun. So
right.
You
at
tell
the
your
same
mom
time,
we vote for the transfer. So
one more piece for you, though, is that you tend to be more – there's an innocent side to you, but there's also another side of you that's more mature and responsible than the people around you. That'll get easier when you get older and you're around people that have all gotten older and more mature. But during the teenage years, you may be the logical, sane one who doesn't want to get into trouble. I want you to keep doing that. Be a good example rather than try to keep up with the people that are acting out, because you naturally know what's the right thing to do. Listen to yourself, and remember that even when you're around a slightly wilder crowd, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Okay.
Tell your mom she did a good job raising you.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
We can see your mom's in there. Mom's a little worried about this move, okay? She wants to make sure you're hanging out with good people, all right? So if your mother doesn't like some of the people you're hanging out with, listen to her, because she's really smart about if people are good people or bad people, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, that's the one thing I would say. Your mother knows on these things, because your mother actually spots the mean ones before you do.
Right.
You don't always spot them as being mean. Sometimes they're mean, and your mother knows. So listen to her. She's smart on this stuff. She's very good at spotting the mean ones. All right?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Mom. We'll wrap up before we head out.
Yeah, cool. Off we go. So what would you like to tell people about this last little bit of the eclipses? I think we forgot the part about the that this week the Gang of Three is going to be looking at how we nurture ourselves, and it's going to be looking at our patterns. And so a lot of the energy is we have these patterns that we've had for many, many years that served us really well. And now we're looking and we're saying, do I need that pattern anymore? And if I don't, what do I want to do to get rid of it? And then the other part is, if I don't need that pattern anymore, how am I going to nurture myself if I release it? So I had one client who's, you know, breaking up with a partner who's got a drinking issue. And she was kind of like, well, what will I do if I don't take care of her? And I'm like, okay, good question, you know, because that a large part of her life has been taking care of the drinking partner. And when you have that, you have to kind of go through the process of, well, what will I do if I have all this new time? How will I take care of myself? What will I do when I don't have to do that and I can do something different? So that's the other part, is recognize that if stuff leaves your life, there's going to be a little hole. Or if there's a pattern that you recognize and you decide not to do the behavior anymore, you're going to need to fill it with something. So kind of have a little plan of what you're going to put in there, at least to hold the space so that it can kind of heal in a new way. So that would be what I would say.
And I think that's really important. And I want people to remember that one of the patterns that we saw in those nice women just now, that there's a very strong energy that is sorting out what does not grow. But we have to watch out not to throw the baby out with the bathwater under this eclipse, because it can be defensive and self-protective.
Right.
And it's moving. Mm-hmm. But to see what you feel like with the cancer, and watch the tendency to take things personally or to cut out that which does not need to be cut out tomorrow. Be careful just to take, you know, one step in front of the other. And then overnight, tomorrow night, by Wednesday, the sun and the moon are waxing in
Leo.
It is time to have a party. I have a party on Wednesday night.
I'm going to have a lobster on Wednesday night. Yeah.
If you don't, then have one on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Because when the moon goes into Libra and starts aspecting lovely all the rest of, there's a really nice chance it's coming up at the end of the week. So the moon is in Leo on the 22nd and the 23rd. Then it heads into Virgo, and so it gives us a couple of days to get some homework done and catch up with our bills before we go party again. And then
on the 26th,
27th, there is just some amazingly loving social healing aspects as Venus trines the Gang of Three and the moon is in Libra. So let's keep an eye. It doesn't mean we won't have homework to do then. It was the sun semi-square Saturn. But, you know, use the 25th and the 24th to catch up on the work. So you've got the room on the 26th and the 27th to connect, to be heart-centered and creative, and take the decisions that get made tomorrow and see if you can put a 24-hour hold on them. And I'll say, we're getting ready to say goodnight. If you want to talk to
anybody, the British lady came on and told us 90 seconds. Yep.
So if we're getting ready to say goodnight, that if you want to contact us and find out more about us or working with us, please contact us through astronyc.com, where you can get to our individual websites and learn more about us and contact us.
Or you can do it through the Blog Talk links. There's links on there for you can get in each of us. And Mark didn't come today. I guess his flu is fluing him. So we're going to say goodnight, and we're going to wish you a good eclipse. We'll be back next Sunday. Tell your friends, and tell them to remember to breathe. It's eclipses. It's clearing. It's releasing. It's cosmic. It's bigger than they are, and they just need to go with the flow. And you need to go with the flow. And I'm Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer, and I'm with my friend Heather, who's in Montana.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins saying goodbye from the Yellowstone River Valley.
And we didn't hear those eagles.
Good night.
I want eagles. We've got 23 seconds. Can you make them make a noise before? No. And Mark, who's on the Upper West Side recovering from the flu, he says goodbye too. So take care, folks.
Thanks. See you next week.
So long, farewell. Bye.